It's The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott. What can we do to adapt to global warming as species move, shift their habitats, or disappear altogether? This huge big question came up in our series, So What Do You Do?, where we pair lay people with scientists for down-to-earth conversations about research and life. This week, graphic designer and artist Anthony Smirsky asks Villanova biologist Samantha Chapman,
So what do you do?
I am a professor and an ecosystem ecologist at Villanova University, and I think what I do is I try to understand how coastal lands provide services for us as human beings. One of the things I'm interested in is how vegetation, like plants like mangroves and salt marshes, actually can help protect us against big storms and big waves as they line our coasts.
And I know you work with NASA. Is this correct, right?
I do, yeah.
So I have, you know, in my mind, when I was a little kid, I like wanted to be an astronaut.
Right.
I would write to NASA. They would like send me pictures of the astronauts and all this stuff.
Space camp.
Yeah. It was, you know, it was all this kind of stuff. So I wonder, like, what's the connection between what in my mind is this thing about like going off to different planets and space exploration and spacesuits and all this stuff and the kind of work that you're doing that seems to be much more about what's happening here on planet Earth.
There's two reasons why I work with NASA and they've funded our research. And the first is that, as you say, they do a lot of work in space and they take pictures of the Earth from space. And they have these amazing satellites that have the capacity to do that. And we use the data they get from those satellites to do my research. And the second reason I work with them is that they have all of this land that lines the coast in all different parts of the country, including at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. And so they have all these expensive facilities there that are right next to the ocean and the rising seas. And so I try to understand how that vegetation is going to protect those really expensive facilities.
What does that mean to me?
Yeah. So like Hurricane Sandy, for example, mm-hmm. we all know that it brought a bunch of flooding into urban areas. And if we have marshes up here in the Northeast or mangroves in the Southeast and increasingly moving north, they sort of block that wall of water that comes in with a big storm like Sandy. And so if you can picture a big mangrove tree. It almost looks like a jungle gym. And a big wall of water is coming up down a Penn's Landing. And if a big mangrove jungle gym-like tree is there and a big wave comes up, it sort of dissipates it and absorbs some of that energy and breaks it up into little pieces. And if a salt marsh grass does the same thing, it doesn't have as much ability to break it up. And so what I care about the diversity of that system because they have different play different roles in protecting you against that wave.
I'm also, in a much more cursory manner, interested in climate change and all this stuff and policies in cities and changes in cities that are connected to that. I wonder if you see room moving forward and in the future for, you know, science and art to work together or science and religion or science and literature.
Yeah, I think there's an enormous need for it, particularly in the way that you and your work are better at communicating with people on different levels and scales, and we scientists are notoriously not that good at that. And so I think that we can learn a lot from writers and artists about ways to reach people more emotionally and on different levels of their psyche that we don't do because we're sort of trained to only say things in very small boxes because we're careful. I think we can learn a lot, yes.
Maybe this is a chance. Then what are you kind of talked about a few, but are there maybe, since I'm interested in cities, are there solutions that your research maybe proposes or hypothesizes that are directly related to cities and climate change?
If we're talking about coastal cities, even like, you know, with
yeah,
rivers
the East
and
Coast.
Bays. Yeah. I think that having these wetlands right outside of them is a really great idea. They can help protect us against rising seas. And the alternative is putting up big walls, right? This whole idea of gray versus green infrastructure in cities. And to me, the green infrastructure is appealing in terms of the better services it'll provide. And we won't have to, quote unquote, fix it all the time like we would with a wall. And because it's nicer for people in cities to be able to experience that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess because you're working with this, you know, with biodiversity and with climate change. And I mean, I know I've read things recently about how, you know, there's been entire species have been wiped out at this accelerated rate like we haven't seen in millennia.
Right.
How does that make you feel about what our future looks like? And are you hopeful for it? Are you?
I have to say, in terms of climate change, I am hopeful because I think that ecosystems are pretty resilient. And the one I work in is a great example, right? You have a salt marsh there, and so it gets warmer where the marsh is, and so the mangroves are able to, the seed-like things float, and they land there, and now they live there because there's a warmer temperature. So I think this reshuffling of species that's happening is in some ways going to be problematic, but I think ecosystems are pretty resilient. They've been evolving for long periods of time, these individual species, and they can, and some of them can adjust. Yeah.
That was great. I feel like I really learned a lot.
Okay,
thank you.
Me too. Thank you.
Samantha Chapman is a professor of biology at Villanova University. Anthony Smirsky is a graphic designer and artist living in Philadelphia. His company is called Random Embassy.